When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. And if it's your first time, we are the podcast that dives into the discography and my brain just like completely stopped. But you know what? Leave it in, Corey. Leave it in. The discography, the catalog, everything that has to do with the band Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. It's been apparently a long day, but I have got no excuses. Corey, save me.
I love it. I was telling Mark before the call that, you know, I'm a little under the weather, fighting off a flu or something, sore throat and all that. I said, Mark, you're gonna have to carry me tonight. And what does he do? I hand him the ball and he butt fumbles it all over the field.
Just drops it. This is why I stopped playing sports and I went straight for the music. So yeah, what can you do, you guys? I can't be perfect every single time. So for those of you just looking for that perfect intro, I apologize for failing you, but I have the medicine to fix it. We are joined by two special guests. And if you are a frequent listener to the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, these guys might sound familiar to you. So please welcome, for the first time on the show, from the Deep Purple Podcast, John and Nathan. How you doing, boys?
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is really great. Great to be on.
Happy to have you, man. So tell me right off the bat, what is going on in the world? How did the world of Deep Purple, I guess, lead you to this podcast?
Oh, boy. We started our podcast about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was this long, slow journey to get to where we are right now, which is and the podcast will rock. So and we cover everything Deep Purple related, all the spin-off acts and anything else that we feel like talking about every week. So listen to your show every week, really enjoy it. Learned a lot about Van Halen from you guys, so thanks again for having us.
That's shocking because we don't know anything, but
we're not experts.
Yeah,
but we actually had a Deep Purple and Van Halen episode too at one point.
Yeah, a while back. Yeah, Greg Renoff came on. It was only three years ago or so. It was an earlier episode, and we just kind of talked about all the different crossovers and links between Deep Purple and Van Halen. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah, which surprised me because I didn't realize there were any until then. So I learned
some
something.
Some of them are tenuous.
I admit my ignorance on that one as well, but which, you know, that's not too hard to do. But hey, I shouldn't be shocked because two great bands like that, how are their paths not at some point going to cross? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, it's a real treat for us to have you on the show because we've told the story before, Pot of Thunder, and you guys, we kind of consider the crown jewels of the rock and roll podcasting world. And we're the two inspirations for Mark and I to kind of get this thing going because there wasn't a lot of Van Halen chatter out there at the time. And just thank you for your show and for inspiring us to do this train wreck every week.
Well, thank you. That's a big compliment.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning us in the same breath as Pot of Thunder. We'll take it.
It's a fun train wreck, make no mistake. So we have fun each time we do it. Speaking of train wrecks, but fun, if you guys didn't check out our live stream, you can still go check that out on our YouTube channel. So, and I mean, all of our live streams that we've done, they're all there. So if you really want to see something truly magical in terms of what fun train wrecks look like, go check those out. It's fun. It's a great time. We just did one for Fuck It February, and it's aptly titled.
I did have to do some editing on that one. So
of course,
for the people who watched it live, if you know, you know. For the people who are catching up, you won't know. And that's for the best.
Yes.
I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, part one dropped on the podcast Tuesday this week, and part two will be dropping tomorrow night on Thursday as we record this. So we spent
on the lookout
Van
for
Halen
that.
Song.
Yeah.
We could talk. We did an Eddie Van Halen solo track. We did an extreme track. We did a Van Halen live cut from their very last public show ever. And we did I'm the One from Van Halen One. It was the one that our current wheel here spun us that night.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh, I missed that one by one. It's one of my favorites.
Well, there you go. Tune in for that show. If you missed it live, we've got you. But speaking of which, Corey, you mentioned a band called Extreme. Inadvertently talk about Extreme a lot on this show, probably because of Gary Cherone. So can you maybe give us a little bit more about what's going on in Van Halen news? Because I think the two are related.
That's right. Actually, dropping today was Extreme's new single, a song called Rise. That's going to be on their forthcoming album titled Six, which is coming out June 9th. And there is a little Van Halen connection. Nuno Bettencourt was talking with Guitar World, and he vows to make sure that the road Eddie paved for guitarists to follow must not come to an end. I wanted to read you his quote here. He said, quote, "Please. When Eddie Van Halen passed, it really hit me. I'm not going to be the one who will take the throne, but I felt some responsibility to keep guitar playing alive. So you hear a lot of fire on the record. And if the first single is any indication, holy crap, do you ever. I've actually queued up the guitar solo. I don't think the three of you have heard this yet, have you?
No, I'm a big fan of Nuno. So I'm excited to hear. It's funny that he calls himself he doesn't want to carry the torch, or maybe he feels like he's not worthy of it, because if you've ever heard Nuno play, I assure you he is, and more people need to know.
Well, here you go. I even brought the video for the boys on the call here to see. Here's a little bit of Nuno Bettencourt and his solo from Rise, the new single from Extreme.
That's got some balls on it.
Wow.
Jeez. That's a statement.
I thought I heard like almost every trick in the book, but whatever he was doing there at the end was like, I've never heard a guitar make noises like that before.
That's some good playing.
A little bit of Flight of the Wounded Bumblebee for all the people who remember Extreme 2 Pornography. He had a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I won't try and guess what specific effect he's using or technique, because the last time I did that, I got called out for being wrong. So all right, cool. I'll leave it up to you all.
Don't you know exactly what pedal he's using for that? Come on.
No. Got to admit it. I don't. So, holy shit, dude. Yeah, no, Nuno, I'm telling you, man, not enough people talk about this guy, and they really should. And hopefully, I'm assuming the rest of the song goes according to, you know, how the solo, if the solo is any indication, the song, the rest of it is probably pretty damn good. So if that's the case, then I am looking forward to more Extreme. And yes, with Gary Cherone, no apologies.
You know, he sounds great on the track. I recommend after we're done recording here, maybe when we hit stop, we'll play the whole song for you guys, because it's pretty fucking good.
Awesome. Mm.
That would be cool. But before we get to all of that and we're done with Extreme for now, perhaps, now we just get into what we're all here for, and that's for some Van Halen-ness. So, Corey, I think it's time to go check out the rock and poll.
Yes, sir. So we haven't run a poll for the one we did on the live show yet. We'll probably put that out tomorrow when that show drops. So we'll have two polls to talk about next week. But we haven't talked about the poll for Where Have All the Good Times Gone yet. King's cover from Diver Down. And this one kind of surprised me, because the covers don't usually do so well. But we're over 90%, 91.1% What Dreams Are Made Of, 8.9% This Dream Is Over out of 146 votes. So pretty overwhelming majority for Where Have All the Good Times Gone.
Yeah, it's rare. When we get What Dreams Are Made Of, they don't usually get up this high, at least depending on the song. But the majority wise, we don't get over 90%. So this is actually kind of special. I'm curious to hear what people are saying about it. Do you want me to read them for you, Corey?
Sure, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
I will absolutely do that. So we go into the comments / the tweets about Where Have All the Good Times Gone. From our friend at Ryan Connell, he says, a good cover. Simply put. At bag F_E says, awesome. So, you know, they're keeping it pretty simple. I'm a big fan of this. They're not explaining too hard as to why they like it. Like, no, it's good. It's awesome. It's whatever.
That's all you get.
I like that. That's all you get. Let's see. At Rayana Ray, what dreams are made of, and little musical emojis. I like that. That's a good one. At Robert Cato, another great cover of a Kinks tune. In fact, I did not even know the original was by the Kinks until I heard the Van Halen version. I think I can't remember exactly what I said on the show, but I'm pretty sure I had heard the Kinks version first, but it wasn't until Van Halen came around that I really cared about it. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? Did you hear the Kinks version first of the song before Van Halen's, or the other way?
I think I always heard the Van Halen one. I don't know the Kinks as well, probably, as I should.
Yeah, no, I think I heard it the other. I think we would have heard it the other way just because of the time we grew up in. I didn't hear a lot of that older stuff until I found out that stuff was covers. So,
yeah,
especially with Van Halen, I didn't know that much of this stuff was covers.
Yeah, originals, basically.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, I thought all of Van Halen songs were all originals. It's like, oh, that's why these sound so cool. It's like, no, they're older. But that's the way it goes sometimes. All right. At Wabo in Cabo says, a great job with this cover. Another they did better than the original, in my opinion, anyway. Not going to fight you on that one, Cabo. Not at all.
Nope.
Let's see. We go to at GHS AP McPeak says, I had a buddy that moved to my town from Florida mid-year 82, 83, a story in and of itself, and claimed to have gone to one of the Florida shows for the Hide Your Sheep tour, played Diver Down constantly. An awesome cover on a fun album. The Kinks rock, but Van Halen rocks the Kinks harder.
100%.
Again, not gonna fight you. Yeah, not gonna fight you at all. Let's see where we go back here. We go back to Juan Pablo says, Eddie used to say that rewriting / arranging the old songs was as hard as writing a new one. Listening to the opening riff, it's unique and brand new. Listen to how he arpeggiates chords to finish verses and adds harmonics to pepper it all up. He is brilliant. Got to love it. Yes, you do. And I gotta love your musical theory lingo that you're throwing out. Way to go. And you're not wrong. You're not using them incorrectly. So tip of the hat to you there, Juan Pablo. Trockman 5150 says, good cover, but nothing earth-shattering like You Really Got Me, which sets the bar for amazing covers. Forgettable track from a forgettable album. Well, there you go. There's part of your 9% right there.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's fair. You know what? We asked the audience to explain themselves because we legitimately just don't know sometimes. So I appreciate that. He didn't find it earth shattering, therefore not his bag. Cool. You know, it to each their own. Mm-hmm. At Art Thrilla says, love Diver Down and love this song. Rarely do I ever hit skip on that album. And whenever Van Halen does a cover tune, they make it their own. Great song to open the album with, and definitely what dreams are made of. You are absolutely right there, Thrilla. Good, good stuff. Our friend Rava Flav says, as with a lot of these songs, I remember when they first came out and received radio airplay. The Kinks version was almost like a folk band. The Van Halen version is upbeat and raw. Everything about this song is spot on. You want to talk about Dave's wheelhouse? Yeah. When Dave is in his wheelhouse, nobody does it better than Dave. Except for, you know, when Sammy has to sing his songs and then Sammy does it better, but that's just me taking a shot at you. But again, yes, Dave and his wheelhouse is very good. Thank you, Rava Flav. Fat Man on Guitar says, what dreams are made of? Another Van Halen cover, another classic Van Halen cover. What else needs to be said? I agree. Thank you, Fat Man. At Kyle Anderson says, when this song plays, I don't have to ask where the good times have gone. No, they're right here. They're happening. They're happening right now when you're listening to that track. Absolutely agree. Mark Fuller says, love it. One of my favorites off the album, and the first 10 seconds is the perfect way to start that album off. Woo-wee! Yes. Absolutely. Good name, Mark Fuller. Jonathan Meisner says, what dreams are made of? Super simple song. A little repetitive, but they didn't write it. They just covered it. Van Halen does the Kinks better than the Kinks. An upbeat, bouncy little jam. I should have played this poolside while I was in Puerto Vallarta last week. I am quite sure I butchered that, but I hope you had fun over at PV. That's what I'll call PV. It. PV. At the PV. I hope you had a good time, Jonathan. Our buddy Greg Zito says, better than the original, but not as good as Van Halen original. I mean, that's fair because we're all here because of Van Halen's music, right? So, yeah, that's a fair assessment. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Another friend of the show, Davey Lee Smith, says, another great cover of a Kinks song, a great way to kick off Diver Down. I listened to the Warner Brothers demos some time ago and was ecstatic hearing the solo from here taken from Young and Wild, which was a cool tune. What Dreams Are Made Of. I am blanking on if I've listened to Young and Wild, but I'm sure it probably rings a bell in some form or fashion. Chaz Mataz, our buddy Chaz, says, holy pound cake, over 90% for a cover song. Nobody does the Kinks like Van Halen, babe. Apparently so. You all seem to really enjoy this cover. Not so much their other covers, which kind of baffles me a little bit, but I appreciate everybody letting us know how they feel. Scott Monroe, our buddy, says, great cover, killer opener, short and sweet pop metal. I tell you, my biggest takeaway from the show so far has been a skyrocketing appreciation for Diver Down. Would you agree with that, Corey? Because I think so. I think, you've always expressed you enjoy Diver Down. Diver Down is sort of the one that I thought I knew the least, but this is their, for lack of a better phrase, this is their cover album, and I'm familiar with Van Halen's cover, so I guess I'm more familiar with Diver Down than I thought. And yeah, every time we spin one, I'm not mad about it.
No, I'm right there with you. That was the album I knew the least. If I was ranking the Dave albums, that'd probably be at the bottom because I didn't know it as well, and I'm getting a whole new appreciation for it too, thanks to doing this show.
Yeah, yes, I mean that's the beauty of the show, folks. Our friend Kevin Brown, the t-shirt maker extraordinaire. I can't boo Kevin. He look what he does. Look what he does for our merch. It's great. He added you directly, Corey,
yes, but,
as well as the show. He said, Corey, you take Ray Davies' name out your mouth. Aside Van Halen covers, the Kinks better than most bands. The only cover on the album I can listen to, and it's great. It just fits their harmony style so well. You can see why they'd cover it in their early days. Hashtag what dreams are made.
Kev is a very big Kinks fan, and Ray Davies is a tremendous songwriter. He has some bangers, but performance-wise, give me Van Halen's version of a Kinks song any day of the week, or really any cover, like Lola, All Day, All the Night. When you get somebody a little more competent musically playing those songs, Waterloo Sunset, which is Kevin's favorite song, Def Leppard does a really killer cover of that one. So we'll see what Kevin says about me this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's coming for you now. He's just
Kinks,
chomping at the bit.
Not musically competent. That's what you just said.
You all heard him. It's recorded. He said Kinks not musically competent. There
Bring it on.
Oh boy. So, and finally, our friend Ryan Powell, he said, not the track I was hoping for, but I had a blast with Van Halen. There is always something to appreciate with every spin. Thank you, Ryan. And yes, except for when we spin a particular track that just doesn't jive well with everybody, or with me in particular, just being, you know, the less said about those particular tracks, the better. It's fine.
It's been a while since we spun one of those, though. So, but I wanted to ask Nathan and John, because they didn't chime in this week on the poll. Nathan, what are your thoughts Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
I was just thinking. I'm like, I listen every week and hear you read our tweet. This is like the one of the few times we didn't comment on it. But I like their energy. It seems like the Kinks songwriting style lends itself really well to being Van Halenized, and it's another good example of it.
Well, there you go. So they were waiting. They were waiting to come onto the show to talk about. That's why
I'm not speaking for John. That's just my feeling. I don't know. He might hate it.
I don't hate it. It's a lot of the Van Halen songs, including this one, I've heard on the radio so many times that I like it. I don't think that it's I think it's one of their best tracks, but I mean, I definitely agree that with all the Kinks songs that they covered, I mean, it obviously lends itself well to their style, or it did at the time anyway. So I think they did a good job with it.
Could not agree with you more. That is absolutely factual. There it is. And that will do it for the tweets on the Rock and Poll. Thank you all so much for contributing, letting us know how you feel about it, and for voting. With that, Corey, it's time to get to the bulk of the show. But before we get to the dreaded mistress known as Wheel, we have to do our most favorite thing. Everybody, take your glass and say it with me. Manifestations. Mm. Manifestations. Now we manifest.
I have my halls. I'm gonna.
I don't have anything.
I have
it's fine.
Manifestations.
I know that you like to drink whiskey, so I did bring some just in case. I brought some bourbon in case.
There you go.
Thank you, Nate. Hey. Yeah. You have to.
So
pick
I might.
Up the
I might
slack
have one finger or something.
There's never been an actual rule that when I say drink, because I say specific phrases that you absolutely have to. I just like to play along. I mean, yeah, a lot of people do. Like apparently, everyone that was on the live show, that they'll do it. I gotta imagine that a lot of our listeners probably listen to us Friday morning. It's like, well, maybe don't shoot whiskey in the morning. I mean, unless you just really need a pick me up and you're not driving. So like,
yeah,
that's
I'm
fine.
Primarily
okay, cool.
Driving when I'm listening, so very rarely is whiskey.
I get it. Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't play the drinking game in that unless you're just drinking coffee. Yeah, I didn't specify what drink, just take it. But enough of that. It's time to manifest the song. So, John, Nathan, you are our honored guests on the show tonight. So I put it to you first. What particular Van Halen track do you want to manifest for the show? Or if you don't have a specific track, is there a specific era or album that you want to bring forth? Let's start with John.
Well, I'll go with era, I guess. I would say the Dave era. Just because that's, yeah, I just think that it's classic. It's high energy. It's a lot of the stuff. I can't say it's the stuff I know best, because I grew up with the Sammy Hagar era, but I remember the mood for the Dave stuff.
He's in the mood to party. That's what I'm hearing. So
yeah,
there you go. Keeping it a broad spectrum. I like that. You know, he just wants a Dave era. So he might get a different kind of truth, Corey. You never know.
You never know.
We'll see. But I throw it over to Nathan. Nate, what do you want to manifest on tonight's show?
Well, I hope I'm not giving too much away, but there's been much debate over whether or not the wheel is real, and we are looking at the wheel right now. But not only did not realize is, the little lines in the wheel are getting much thicker as the catalog weans down, and we've been watching the wheel this entire time that we've been doing the show, so it's very enticing seeing. And I've been watching my pick go around the whole time, and here it comes. It's Greg Renoff. Told me that Light Up the Sky he thought was a Deep Purple influenced track in its writing, so I've been watching it spin around, and I think that that's going to be the one that I'm going to try to manifest.
All right, Light Up the Sky, there you go. It's been a second since I think did someone ask for that in the live show? Did you?
Eric Senich actually in the live show asked.
Eric
for
did
Light
okay
the Sky,
well yeah. There you go.
I think I've heard be summoned several times, but no one's been successful yet. So we'll see if I've got any luck.
Eric has actually just sent
magic
me a
touch.
Yeah, Eric has actually just sent me a frantic email saying, "Oh my God, did we manifest a new Extreme song? Because we spun them on Saturday and we're talking about it. All of a sudden, there's a new song."
I mean, look, I'm not gonna say no. I'll take.
Yeah, they actually recorded it the following day, and it got the video out that quick. It's amazing.
Oh my God, do you know what this means, Corey? Greg listens to the show. Our hopes/fears are true. Gary listens to the show. Yeah.
I'll show those fuckers.
Yeah, it's just like these if they don't shut up once and for all. And if that's the case, apologies to Gary.
Apologies to Gary.
So there you go. Light of the Sky from Nate. All right, Corey, how about you? What's what are you feeling? You're not feeling great. You're feeling under the weather. What Van Halen track can pull you out of the funk?
Every time I've come on this show feeling not so good, feeling a little sick, I always try and manifest somebody get me a doctor from Van Halen 2. So I'm picking a Dave song as well. Mark's like, that's three Dave era songs in a row. Are you going to go Dave, or are you going to go outside your wheelhouse here?
Well, my instinct tells me to go outside the wheelhouse. However, I'm not going to do that. I am going to, because I'm feeling, I'm feeling like we could do whatever. So I think I might echo John in the sense of, give me a Dave era tune. I'd rather have like a really good Dave era tune, you know, take that for how you will. But Dave era, I think that's a wide enough spectrum. And I think it's safe enough to that we're in for a good show should we spin one. So that is maybe it's a cop out, but I don't care. It's half my show. Exactly. I am choosing Dave era.
Sounds
Does that
good.
Mean we're guaranteed a Sammy track tonight?
Pretty much, yeah.
Probably so, Nate.
Oh, boy.
now that you've said it, probably so.
And we're all going to enjoy Black and Blue from OU812.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
Yeah, me either, actually. That's a good track. Funny. What do you say?
Yeah, like, yeah. All right.
We,
so
we all pick Dave songs, but we're going to ask Sammy to sing us in here as we get the wheel going. First of all, we got to shuffle this thing up. So in honor of the Deep Purple podcast and your 4 years on the air, let's shuffle this four times. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, is it going to be a Gary song? It's a Gary song.
Oh, it's a Gary
song. Fire in the hole.
Oh, we were all wrong.
Oh, my God. Of course.
How fitting. We had an Extreme song at the beginning here. Now we're getting Fire in the Hole. I'm excited about this one.
It's all Gary all the time.
Yeah. I don't know whether to be excited or miserable. I don't know, because this is the album I know the absolute least. You all, if you've been paying attention to the journey from the start of the show, you know that Van Halen 3 has all been fresh, and it has not all been great.
I think you've downvoted every single song.
Except for one, the one that we both enjoyed. I couldn't even tell you the name of it.
Well, Without You is the one that we upvoted.
Without You is the one we upvoted, because I said, okay, that wasn't terrible. I didn't hate it. It was fine. So I had to give it an upvote for that. But I have no feelings on this song whatsoever, other than maybe yikes, or maybe, hey, that's passable. I don't know. Does anyone else on the panel have any sort of preconceived notions of this track?
No.
No, okay, that's me hoping I'm not alone.
I haven't like heard anything from this album. All I know is what I've heard about this album is that this era was abysmal and nobody liked it. And so, I'm going in not knowing anything. So we'll see. Maybe we'll feel different.
Maybe not. Corey, you have anything? Do you know this song at all?
Oh yeah, this was the song that they put on the Lethal Weapon 4 soundtrack.
Oh, this is the one?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you may have heard this one, actually.
Maybe I have, okay. But let me just say, if I have, it wasn't for just maybe once for just a small snippet when the movie came out. So you know, do the math on that one. So I don't know that I have any sort of memory about this one whatsoever. However, that could mean that I might not be so harsh on this because it might sound better than what I remember. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
We're about to find out. This is also one of only three songs on Van Halen 3 that Michael Anthony played on.
No kidding. Ah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, Eddie played bass on most of this album, but Mike was in on this song, On Without You, and the song One I Want, I believe, is the other one. So we're going to get some Mikey harmonies on this one, too. So chin up, boys. I bet you it's not going to be that bad.
Is that the reason why we upvoted Without You? Is because the obvious Michael Anthony presence?
Well, I just dig the song. Like the chorus is banging. Gary sounds really good on it. You know, it's a pretty good track.
But Michael Anthony has a 100% success rate on the show so far in your show. If he's on a Van Halen 3 track, it's got a fighting chance.
That's absolutely true.
It does. Statistically, it does, at least for me, it does have a fighting chance. So let's see if we can keep the statistic intact, or we might just bust it. Who knows? But so if you're ready, Corey, John, Nate, if you guys are ready, let's fire up Fire in the Hole.
Yes, sir. We're going all the way back to March 17th, 1998. This is Fire in the Hole from Van Halen 3.
Why can't this be love? But like sped up a lot.
I was going to say Up for Breakfast.
I was going to say Yars.
No. Don't invoke its name. Oof, I love Sammy, but that is a stinker of a song. Oh my God.
That's rough.
Not great.
What do you think of that vocal sound, Mark? It sounds a little thin. We always kind of criticize the production on this album. This was produced largely by Eddie, but also by composer Mike Post as well. But I don't know, the band sounded good, but I thought Gary was a little thin.
Oh, I was just thinking that this must be one of Sammy's off days where he just doesn't sound like 100%. That wasn't Sammy? That wasn't Sammy on a sick day? Well, that's not a good start. I'm serious. I don't know what it is. This is a repeating pattern that we're finding with this album, that Gary just sounds like he's doing an imitation. Sometimes it's Dave and then sometimes it's Sammy. And right now he's giving me big Sammy vibes. If I'm the only one, then I'll be crazy. But is anybody else feeling that?
No, you're not 100%. Crazy. No, I thought that too. I'm like, he's dead on trying to sound like,
yeah, I'm not. You're right, though, Corey. The music is very much in the forefront, very, very in your face. Maybe they did that on purpose because they knew this would be on, you know, big movie soundtrack, maybe. It's Lethal Weapon. Maybe that has something to do with it, or I don't know, maybe just Eddie just felt, let's just turn Gary down just a little bit. What do you think? I don't know.
In a lot of ways, it's the Eddie solo album, Van Halen 3, is how it was described by Mike Anthony. So.
So had Gary just gotten back from the dentist? Like, I don't understand all of this dental imagery that he's throwing in here about wisdom teeth and rinse cups and opening and saying, it's only one line doesn't have something to do with teeth.
Say, amen. So like, say, okay, is this a religious experience as well? Like, what's a rinse cup and spit again? Okay.
I'm not normally a big lyrics guy, but you got them right in front of us, which is actually really nice to see that. It's just kind of, I don't know if I would notice if it wasn't in front of me, but it's just kind of odd lyrics so far.
Oh yeah. In a word to the wisdom tooth.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I really like Nathan's theory that he just got back from the dentist. And he's like, here's the song. Put some lyrics
still on like a little of the laughing gas and like, Gary, did you write the lyrics to Fire in the Hole yet? He's like, oh crap, no. And he's like, he was in a rush and he's just writing about his experience that he just had.
I'm reading ahead in the next verse isn't anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I was looking ahead too, and there's more sort of like oral imagery, like dental and like chew your words, forked tongue, you know, there's all these things. Like, what is happening? Like, what, this song is called Fire in the Hole, and you're like, fire is the hole your mouth, like, is this about oral surgery? Like,
yeah, this isn't looking great.
The hole is the dry socket he had after they took out his wisdom tooth.
In a word, to tell the truth,
it started off with all this like war sounds and sounding like the beginning of One or like Psychotron by Megadeth or something, and then it turns into a song about going to the dentist. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
The third verse is about a prostate exam, so I can't wait to get to that part.
Oh, can't wait. Yeah, let's see.
It gives new meaning to Fire there. In the Hole.
Hey-o. Am I the only one who thought he said fucked tongue instead of forked tongue?
No, it's what it sounded like.
The way he sang it, like fucked tongue. Like, what? What did you say?
Forked tongue, sorry, double speak. No, pretty soon, you just child. Might spring a leak.
So these I guess it could work either way.
Yeah,
that's true. Actually, I'm gonna double check. No, it is forked tongue. Okay. at least on the sheet it's forked tongue. I'm willing to bet this is Gary having a little bit of fun.
Isn't that what an iron lung is, kind of? Just
your iron lung's not a bag of wind. It's a
big metal container of wind.
It's like a capsule. It's a giant, it's a barrel, a capsule of wind. Maybe there's a bag in there somewhere, but it's more than just a bag. What are you getting at here, Gary? I need to know.
Now we got to get him on the show. What the fuck is
that? I know. If you do listen, please come on the show. We just want to talk, man.
I mean, I'm all for like kind of like interesting imagery and lyrics, but this is very odd. Like, I don't know what I'm missing, what the symbolism is supposed to be.
Yeah,
I get it.
And
yeah,
I'm all for weird lyrics for the sake of, you know, producing odd imagery, but at least give me some sort of a coherent story or vibe. I'm getting neither with these two verses.
Well, I think this is the second song I've ever heard that has the word iron lung in it. And the first one being by Weird Al.
Mr. Frump and the Iron Lung. Yes, very well.
I mean, that's good company to keep,
But this is up for breakfast all over again. You know, she puts the cream in my coffee. Boy. What the fuck is that? What is the cream? Why is she putting in your coffee? Yeah.
You jinxed it when you invoked its name.
I did.
It's not quite at that level.
But at least that one had the vibe. Mark, you were talking about the vibe.
That's true. Yeah, even that one though, had the vibe.
Yeah, it's lyrically idiotic. You get the vibe from it. This is just lyrically idiotic and you don't know what's happening.
Well, at least it's not like very, it's not over the top sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, but it's not like you're not cringing about like, oh God, no.
No, I'm trying to figure out exactly what he's trying to say here.
Maybe the chorus will shed some light. What's a filibuster? I know what a filibuster is.
It's like a filibuster, but a blister.
It's a filibuster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That chorus didn't shed light on shit. Like, no. didn't help me out at all. I don't know. I still don't know what's happening.
What is a sweet and sour filibuster? That's my question.
I want to order that the next time I go out for. I want to order that the next time I go out for Chinese.
Can I get the sweet and sour filibuster?
Could I get the guy pan, the General Show chicken, and the sweet and sour filibuster, please?
Filibuster, yeah.
You know, faucet pouring, fresh and bitter.
You're gonna hate it. I did want to say, I know, like we keep getting distracted with the lyrics, because I mean, for good reason. But the music, I want to say, sounds pretty cool. But man, it's just not mixed very well at all. But what I can say is, Mikey is very prominent in this track. Like if Mike did indeed record bass on this track, you can hear him. That low end is very high, and you know he's doing his job. I assume what Eddie is playing is pretty cool as well, but like I say, it's not mixed very well, so it's really hard to say. Cavities.
Come on.
Decavities.
What are decavities?
Decavities.
Is that like an anti-cavity?
Decavities.
Yeah.
It's when you get rid of the cavity. You decavitize. I don't know.
What was that thing that you misheard on one of the songs that you
play splat and bone.
Blood and bone.
Play splat and bone.
And bone. Yeah. That's what this kind of seems like, but these seem to be the actual lyrics, right? Like
it's decavities. Yeah, that's
why
are you going to the
dentist?
Because I'm going to get a filling for decavities that I have.
I got to go to the dentist.
I got to go to the dentist for decavities.
Yeah, get the decavities out of my mouth.
I got to get a dentist for the decavities. Hey,
yo.
I've been eating too much of the sweet and sour filibuster.
Too much of the filibuster. A fine goal.
Ooh, and come on, smile and see cheese on a count of three, because I got a mind full of decavities. But what the hell are you talking about?
This is terrible.
This is like the third verse, and it's still all dental related. Like I'm telling you, he was.
I think
was
you're right.
A laughing gas when he wrote these lyrics.
You know what? That's the only thing so far that makes sense. And then also, Corey, I think you nailed it. As much as it pains to say me, this is a repeat of Up for Breakfast, but I dare say so far worse.
It's
because
the poor
at least
man's Up for Breakfast.
he does sound like a very not well Sammy Hagar, and it's there's all this. Yeah, but at least Up for Breakfast had a vibe to it. At least there's that. I don't know what the vibe is on this song. I don't know what's happening.
There's a fire in the hole. That's all you need to know.
It's like he heard Up for Breakfast and he said, I really like what Sammy did with all those like innuendos about sex. I'm going to do the same thing, but get this. It's going to be about being at the dentist.
Except this came
we'll
before.
Call it fire in the hole. Yeah. You know.
This came before Up for Breakfast. So this inspired.
That's right, because that was like a bone. Oh, so maybe it was the other way around.
So maybe it's the other way. You know the other way around. Yeah.
I'm going to do that. No. This is going to be about sex.
Oh, no. This inspired Up for Breakfast? Is that what we're suggesting here?
This is the prequel.
Yeah, this was like the rough draft, the demo version.
The prequel to Up for Breakfast prequel.
And there you go. If you needed another reason why prequels just don't work. There you go, folks. Sometimes they just don't work.
But I mean, in the annals of dental songs, this has got to be top 10, right?
Oh, easily.
I don't know. It's competing with I'm Your Dentist from Little Shop of Horrors, and that shit slaps.
Oh, that's number one.
I don't know.
That's number one. Yeah. But I was thinking.
Yeah. So that's
Weird Al did a YouTube parody called Numb Me, Drill Me, Floss Me, Bill Me.
Oh, yep. He did from the YouTube parody. So okay, well that's number two.
That's number
two. So, you know,
can we think of any other? What about Montana by Frank Zappa is about dental floss. So that would probably have to
that
be
works.
Above this. It would have to be somewhere above this one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So. There's probably a plethora of other dental related songs that are well ahead of this one for sure.
I think
because
the four of us should do a spinoff podcast where we only do songs that are about dentistry.
I mean, David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ah, yeah. There you go. To bring it back full circle. Yeah. Way to go, John. You should be hosting this show.
Tell you what, I found a Van Halen Reddit thread, and the title is What the Actual Hell is Fire in the Hole About?
I can understand why.
And we are not the only ones.
Yeah. I'm glad to know that we're not alone. Yeah. We should discuss that if we ever get through this train wreck of a
I'm
song.
I'm sure for 25 years people have been pondering this. It's just to us anyway. This is new, so we're probably retreading what others have stumbled on before.
I've got one here from a guy who's never heard the song. He just Googled the lyrics, says as a rough guess, it's about liars. There's lots of references to mouths, forked tongues, and apparently dentistry. Fire equals lies, hole equals mouth. It's not exactly Dylan, is it?
I think whoever wrote that post, you're being very generous, and we applaud you for it.
You know what? I think it was Steve Millions, and I think he put more thought into it than Gary Cherone did.
Oftentimes people attribute all of this like symbolism to an author that was never intended. The author would be like, "Oh yeah, sure, yeah, that's what I was going for."
Yeah. Like, yep, totally meant that.
Yeah,
I understand.
How many songs can you recall with the word bile in it?
Not a common one.
That line right there is the best part of the song so far. Like, tongue tied and tangled web, your bile inside better left unsaid. That's the best part so far of the song.
I agree.
Is that line.
What about wash it out with soap? Yeah!
I mean, well, that's the most relatable line. We've all been there.
And I love that he rhymed choke with soap.
Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah. I don't mind the chorus though. Like, I like how Gary's delivering it. It's mixed funny, but I like how he's delivering it.
It works for the song itself. There's not a lot to, I mean, it's he's doing that thing that that Dave likes to do a lot, just keep the chorus very simple, which is just it's the title, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll just do that, I'll do some sort of vocal variation on the title, and there you have it, there's our chorus. So that's keeping it on brand, so you know, I guess I appreciate that. There were some backup vocals, but I'll be damned if you can really hear it. So, you know, I can't really speak too much. Yeah, I can't really speak too much on it, except for I'm pretty sure they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this mix is awful.
Yeah. All right, Mark, what'd you think?
The solo slaps. That's a good solo. It kind of puts some extra meat on the bones of the song, I think. It felt like it just kept swelling into this monstrosity of just awesome guitar notage. And it had a good progression too. So, that along with the Your Violent Side line is the best part of the song so far. I dig that. What do you think?
Yeah, at the ending of the solo in particular got into at the very, very end, it got into Ritchie Blackmore territory. It sounded like Stargazer by Rainbow. Very went into that kind of Arabian scale sort of thing very briefly, which I don't really associate too much with Eddie Van Halen. But it was really, right. It was cool. I've yet to hear really a solo by Eddie where I'm like, well, that was terrible. They're always great and interesting, and he's got his own trademark, which is awesome, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the beginning was actually very a lot more like inspired by Ritchie.
Yeah.
But then like after the first like half of the solo, it seemed to just kind of get lost in the middle. Like I just think like the mix was not that great because it just kind of all got muddled up until the end. So it started off strong and then the middle seemed kind of like just buried in there, and then the end was, you know, kind of interesting. And so that was like, I just think it wasn't because it was a bad solo. I just think what you guys were saying, the mix on the whole song just seems kind of like muddled. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that middle section, the rhythm actually overtook the lead there for a little bit, because I was hearing a lot of the rhythm and not a lot else. But I wanted to give a little love to Alex Van Halen. His drum sound on this is really, really good. And I just loved the way he was hitting the bell on that ride cymbal during that solo. It had a really pronounced clang to it, almost like he was hitting like a church bell or something. It was really cool.
Hmm.
Is that Beetlejuice, Mark? What does he think of the song?
This is Lydia, actually. Oh, okay. Lydia, what do you think? No?
She loves it.
Oh, you want to talk now? Like, you're so chatty. This is the chatty one. Yeah, so for those that don't see, like, my cat decided to join us for the show.
Put the headphones on her and let's see what she thinks.
I got to tell you, during that section, though, I'm looking at the three heads on the collie with me, and some of them are kind of nodding up and down. You know, maybe is the song being redeemed a little bit in your eyes?
I mean, this last part here was pretty heavy groove. I like the turn that it's taken.
I was a little distracted by the very, very faint, like sound like a walkie-talkie in the background. Mm-hmm. You couldn't exactly tell what was being said, but.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of that late 90s, let's put that walkie-talkie noise shit in there somewhere to make it sound kind of industrial or whatever. I don't know.
Mm. Oh, you guys didn't hear that? I picked it up. It was like, shh, Mr. Sharon, Dr. Applebaum, we'll see you now.
That's what it is. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, getting his wisdom
dentist detail. Appointment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness. If you're going to say something over the outro, rudder of ship, which sets the course, does not the bit bridle the horse. Great is the forest set by a small flame, like a tongue on fire, no one can tame.
But all right, so now we went from the whole dentist theme to like the Princess Bride or something. Like, what the?
All I could hear while he was saying that was, how can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat? You know, it just it had that same sort of like frantic tone to it.
Yeah.
He's trying to, I don't know, be a little.
This to me, this said, you know how sometimes David Lee Roth will do kind of like spoken word little bits in the song where he'll like, hey, yeah, that suit is you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
This sounds like a real bad attempt at doing a Rothism, but he's like, don't do it like Dave, but do it like you. Okay. Well, I don't really do it like that. Okay. But just do it anyway. Ship. Like, all right. You know, but it's just like, it's not even so much. I'm more distracted, not by what he's saying, but how he's saying it.
No, it sounds like,
why are you yelling at me?
But when Dave did it, and like that example that you said, like Unchained, he was
Unchained,
being fun and spontaneous. This sounds like it's being very presumptuous, you know, like let's try and
think
something really like lofty and meaningful at the end of this. And I'll scream it like that. So it'll be really heavy. And instead it sounds ridiculous.
It does not, whatever the intention, which you're probably right. That's what I think they were going for. It does not work whatsoever. That just he just sounded silly. He just sounded silly, and whatever the message was, it is lost.
Imagine how that sounded in concert, because it's time to play. How many times did Van Halen perform "Fire in the Hole" in their career?
Oh boy!
We'll give the guest a chance to think about it here, Mark. Let's start with you. How many times do you think Van Halen played "Fire in the Hole"?
Well, considering, if I'm not mistaken, it's starting to come back. I believe because this song was on Lethal Weapon 4, it had a music video, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
I think it did, and which means that it got some eyes and ears on it. So for better or worse, it was probably, you know, in the single category. So they probably played it a good number of times, but I don't think they played it all that much. So I'll say they play it 50 times.
50 times. All right, Nathan?
Yeah.
I don't have any concept of how long these guys were out there touring. I was tempted to say zero until you reminded me of the singles. I don't know. I'd say 11 times.
11 times. All right, John, remember, it's Price is Right rules. Closest to the actual number without going over.
I'm going to go like 30.
30. All right. Well, our winner tonight, he's on a bit of a roll. Mark Kammeyer, Van Halen played this 75 times.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
All in.
I was actually going to guess 50 at first, but I thought that might be a little presumptuous.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the entire tour, I would think, in 1998.
I thought I overshot it, to be honest with you. It's like, oh, I'm being generous. Like maybe 50 times.
Yeah.
Like,
11.
Yeah, nope.
And according to setlist.fm, never covered by anybody else.
Yeah, I would.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Imagine a cover band breaking this out.
A Van Halen cover band. We're going to do everybody's favorite.
We're going
to fire in the hole. All right, let's go to the bathroom, get another beer. We'll see you in a bit.
It's like the movie Step Brothers when they had the Billy Joel tribute band, but they only did 80s Joel. Play Piano Man. We only do 80s Joel.
Yeah. What did you say?
We only do Van Halen 3.
We only do Gary era Van Halen. It's like, oof. Imagine that bit. Actually, I live in Nashville. That band probably exists.
Yeah, how many say I'll do some Van Halen 3 tribute band.
Oh, and that's probably exactly what they're called too. Damn it. Well, there it is. Apologies to Gary, but not apologies to the tribute band that does that, because what the hell is wrong with you?
Wow.
So there it is. Fire in the hole indeed. I mean, we've probably tipped our hands a little bit too close at this point, but it's the show. We got to do it. So we're going to do it. I'm going to go to our guests first. Nathan, you seemed pretty up and positive on this song for sure. So I just got to know, is Fire in the Hole what dreams are made of, or is this just yet another trip to the dentist?
Yeah, I think like I'm my entire knowledge of Van Halen 3 is through your show. So I've heard all the songs you played on your show and now this one. But the one thing that, the production definitely strikes me, but all of the songs to me, and particularly the last, what's the last Van Halen 3 song that you guys did?
The last one we did, I think, was...
it was a few episodes ago. Kelsey was on.
Oh, yeah, that was the unreleased track called That's Why I Love You.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, it was unreleased and we agreed it should have stayed that way.
It seems to me like almost like they're taking a vocal from another song and putting it on a song that it just doesn't fit on. Like it doesn't seem to fit rhythmically. And again, we always throw apologies to Gary Cherone. He's an amazing singer. Love his work. But just for some, whatever reason, it sounds like he's coming in and singing over something and it just doesn't gel. It doesn't fit. It doesn't, all the lyrics are weird and everything and he's a great singer, so he could make that work. It always seems out of step, out of rhythm, and he's hitting all the right notes. It just does it. Nothing I've heard yet has worked for me.
Well, there you go. In the hole by Nathan. John, do you share Nathan's sentiments and that the dream is over, or were you a little bit more upbeat on it? What say you?
No bueno. I don't know. The only thing I know of this album is what I've heard and then what I've heard tonight. And if this is any indication of what's on the album, I mean, if you played it for me and I didn't know anything, if you're just like, here's a Van Halen song, I would have thought it was a Sammy Hagar era song. Like it had all of the Eddie's guitar tone. It had a really strong, like full beat, from the rhythm section. Nothing wrong with the music. I just think that the mix was not good. And it sounded like they were just like, they brought in Gary Cherone and they're like, you need to do your best Sammy impression. And it sounded like they just kind of buried it. And he was just kind of like straining it out. Like it didn't, because we all know like what a good singer he is. And it just sounds like, I don't know. I think they were, without knowing anything, that they just kind of were like, yeah, just we need you to kind of do an impression and fit like the Van Halen model or the Van Halen mold, so to speak, instead of having him do his own thing. And I think maybe that and, a poor mix and really bad lyrics are to blame for this song not being that great.
Well said. So indeed. Of course not. But that goes without saying. Corey, though, you tend to be the more optimistic one of the bunch. However, you do put on podcasts with our nemesis, John Mariano, and his influence has kind of reached out like tendrils through the machine and kind of taken hold of you at times. You're also not feeling great. So I got to say, was Fire in the Hole the pick me up that you absolutely needed, or are you just sinking further down?
I'm a little torn, though. I think I'm a little more positive on it than you guys are. I dug the chorus. I dug Gary's delivery on it. I dug the solo. I think Alex was doing some great shit. Mike was doing some great shit, Mark, like you pointed out. You could actually hear him in the mix. But I can't get over the mix being as poor as it is. And all the people are going to come yelling at us because we downvoted this, Mark. Oh, you focus too much on the lyrics. When they're this hilarious, you kind of have to. When they're this nonsensical, you kind of have to. Once I kind of looked at it from the lens of he's talking about a liar, okay, now it made maybe a tad bit more sense, and I can get on board. That one verse with the tongue tied in a tangled web, your bile inside better left unsaid, like I thought that was pretty good. And the song was picking up for me then. And then it went into that whole weird, yelling during the fade out. That was like, well, what the fuck is that now? So I was really on the fence the entire time. I thought I was going to be positive until the fade out. But I can't disagree at all with what Nathan and what John said. Like the mix and the lyrics and, just kind of killed it for me. Although I don't mind it. It's not quite what dreams are made of. So Mark Meyer, geez, I've already got the song queued up. I think I know which way this is going to go. If I see an up thumb, I'm going to be shocked.
I mean, part of me, just because of the chaos within me, almost wanted to throw the thumb up, but I couldn't in good consciousness do that. This song's greatest enemy is not the lyrics. It is the mix. I know we keep saying it, but it's the mix. The band is probably doing some great things. Corey mentioned Alex is doing some pretty incredible rhythm stuff. But for me, I can't tell, because the mix is so bad. I honestly couldn't tell what the hell Eddie is doing until that solo. And even that solo, as John pointed out, is the middle is sorely lacking. The solo is good, and I'm sure if we were to see it performed live, we'd probably be like, hell yeah, that's awesome. Good for you, Eddie. Yeah, I mean, you never disappoint us. But this is a recording, and on the record, you're supposed to really shine, and the mix does not shine for anybody. Except for maybe Michael. We could actually hear him. I liked what he was doing, but needed more. I'm sure he might have been doing background vocals, but again, you could barely hear it. So who's to say? And again, we can harp on lyrics because we have to, because as Corey said, when they're this nonsensical and this ridiculous, look, we did it for Up for Breakfast, and you all you listeners out there, especially you Sammy haters, were just itching. We're itching for that one. You were just waiting for us to tear that one apart. And we did, because lyrically that song is so damn bad. But I don't know if it's, I don't know which is worse, to be honest with you. This one or Up for Breakfast, it's in contention. Fire in the Hole, let me just say, this was on the Lethal Weapon 4 soundtrack, and you know what? Cool, because it's a fitting song for the fitting movie that it was. So you take that however you will. So that's a big old no for me on Fire in the Hole, and that is a unanimous sweep of hell no. But that's just the way it goes. And again, we'll say it one more time. Apologies to Gary, but you know, I don't want to blame Gary for this, because it was probably so much out of his control. However, Gary, if you did write these lyrics, let's have a conversation, please. Like, because I need to know. I need to know where your head was at. I like the Reddit thread theory, the fan theories about what I like, the one you mentioned, Corey, where it's about a liar. Well, it might be, or maybe it's not, because I'm more inclined to think that this is a dentist trip. That seemed to make the most sense. could be. There it is. So if anyone else has, any of our listeners in particular have fan theories about what the hell Fire in the Hole is about, please at us at Podcast Will Rock and let us know, because it's just, we're going to be up all night trying to think of I'm not going to be able to not think about this.
You will. Because... I'm going to bed. Fuck that.
Well, I mean, you have, yes, you get some rest. You've earned it. Especially after that. Well, you guys, we did it. We, for better or worse, we did it. We got another one down, another song from Van Halen 3 off the damn wheel. Any minute now we'll be done. I think we're going to finish that album before we finish any of the other ones. Because I think we have, how many more do we have left of Van Halen? Do you know at the top of your head there, Corey?
1, 2, 3, 4, I want to say.
So out of the 12 tracks, you know, yeah. And then the one unreleased. Yeah, we've done quite a few. So we've got about at least half, maybe.
Oh, You Wait One Too is still the one we're closest to finishing. We have one song left.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, just based on how the wheel likes to spin and likes to do us dirty, especially when we have guests on, we'll probably finish that one before OU 812. But I'm not mad about that. That just means that, okay, cool. We're moving on to greener pastures, as it were. But that's just how the game works. We spin the wheel and we talk about what is on the wheel. You know this. That's why you guys tune in. And you also tune in to find out who is going to be on the show. And I just want to send a resounding thank you to John and Nathan from the Deep Purple Podcast. You guys, again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being on the show. Please tell the people what you guys got going on, where they can find you, and where they can listen to the show and all that.
Sure. Thank you for having us. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It's probably even more fun than getting a good song.
it always is.
That's good. As long as you had fun.
getting a not good song is always more fun because it's you can't make fun of a good song.
Yeah, I was going to say that would have been my backup was if I can't get Light Up the Sky, it's just something that we could tear apart and look what we got.
There you go.
Yeah,
look what we got.
Like I said, we're coming up on our 4-year anniversary. We're a little over 200 episodes. We talk about Deep Purple and all Deep Purple related stuff. We review full albums. We do other different subjects. We live recordings from the band and other bands that are related. So if you like Deep Purple, Rainbow, Whitesnake, Jolyn Turner, every so often Ozzy Osbourne album because you know there's a connection there too. But the Deep Purple is a vast musical universe that's intertwined with so much, so that's why we decided to do it. There's just so much it connects to so many different bands. It's almost unlimited subject matter. So and it's a weekly podcast. Every Monday we come out.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, yes. Congratulations on you guys for you said 3 years going now?
We're coming on 4, right, Nate?
Coming on 4.
Yeah.
4, coming up on 4, yeah. So find us where all great podcasts are listened to. DeepPurplePodcast.com.
That's right. That's where you can find all the great show notes.
All the great show notes, all the good stuff, all things Deep Purple. Great band, great podcast to listen to, so be sure to check that one out. Corey, where can the people find you? Where can they find the show?
Well, they could find us at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook. You can find us on our website, www.podcastwillrock.com. Grab yourself some merch, help support the show, help keep us on the air. We only got 52 songs left on the wheel. We might add, I gotta talk with Mark about this, but we did a poll on if we should add some more unreleased tracks to the wheel, and that was an overwhelming yes. So there might be another 4 or 5 songs we can slap on there, but you know, we're coming down to the end of it. We're only gonna have about under 60 songs left to go if we add the unreleased, so before this whole journey is done. And before I get into the deep dive podcast network, I just want to talk about a good friend of the show, David Rasmussen, who reached out to me through the website and said, hey, I got all these tour books from when I used to go to shows way back in the day. Would you be interested in them? And some of them, I don't know if you can see it thanks to my background, but he sent me all these tour books, Van Halen, 1984, U2, Joshua Tree. I got David Lee Roth, The Eat 'Em and Smile, Hysteria from Def Leppard. There's a Judas Priest. There's a Rush. I kind of promised him I would send a couple of Mark's way, but I don't know if I want to. Because they're kind of cool.
That's fair. It's very cool. Yeah.
We'll have to negotiate that. But I just wanted to thank David very much for sending those my way. They're really, really great and kind of a cool little piece of rock and roll history. Now, speaking of rock and roll history, you're going to get a big heap and dose of that if you listen to the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Let's go through all the shows here. Myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin are having a little show called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. John and I also do another show talking everything music and movies called Backtracks Theme Music. Scott also has his original show, Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. Of course, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at the In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan again at So Far So Pod So What, talking all things Megadeth, Kevin Brown, the aforementioned Kevin Brown, at the Tom Petty Project, and Kevin with his buddy Randy have a little show called Seaside Pod Review, another great Queen podcast. Quinn at And Volume for All, and finally Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast.
Very, very cool. Thank you very much, Corey. You can always find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead and contact me directly when you want to yell about something that I've said or a hot take or whatever, or just feel free to correct me on mistakes that I make when I'm on the show, because evidently I make them a ton. But as you guys know, I'm no expert, just a simple fan, and sometimes I say things. So there's that. Also, special shout out, go check out our buddy Jeff Saunders at the Hillbilly Scribs YouTube channel. He's doing his live stream tomorrow night, 7:30 Central Time, to benefit St. Baldrick's to helping conquer childhood cancer. So he's doing good work, good work over there. We love him. Be sure to check that out. Support him. Support the kids. It's all about supporting the kids. And also, Van Halen might not be touring right now, but you can always still support your local rock scene. Go out, see a show, support the scenes. We're out there. We're still playing the tunes that you love. Some of us play them really, really well. So get out there and support your local scene to show that you want to keep rock music alive, just like we want to keep rock music alive by talking about a band that we absolutely love. No, we're not experts. We're just simple fans. We love talking about this band, and we're going to keep talking about them until we just can't anymore. That's the name of the game. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.